The Cap of J-Hood podcast is sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka. Check out the ESPN Chicago Games, sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka at ESPNChicagoGames.com. Watch us compete against each other, share memories and laughs, all for charity. Tito's Handmade Vodka celebrates 25 years. Cheers to you, Chicago!
That's why I see him in my shot. No shot. With Cap and J-Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
That's why I see him in my shot.
What's up? Welcome into a Bears Victory Monday on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. I'm J-Hood. Cap is off today for the Jewish holiday, Rosh Hashanah. Glad that you're aboard here. 312-332-3776 is our phone number. What's up, Twitch? twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. Thanks for keeping the conversation going. We're going to hear from Cap coming up in 15 minutes here on ESPN 1000. He'll give his thoughts about the Bears and their win against the Houston Texans 23-20. Also still to come this hour, Courtney Cronin with her thoughts from the locker room for the Bears in their second win of the season. But right now, if it's 8 o'clock, it means shot or no shot, and it's brought to you by
our friends at Club Hawthorne. Put a little more action into your weekend at one of Hawthorne's 16 newly remodeled betting bars, or bet the races from home or on the go with the Club Hawthorne mobile wagering app.
Charlie is with us. Charlie, what's up, man?
Good morning, Hoodie. How you doing? How are you doing, Shay? How are we all doing?
Well, which one do you want to know first? Is it me?
Let's start with you, Hoodie. How are you?
I'm doing okay, right? Based on what we saw at Soldier Field, I'm okay. It just, you know what you like is that Saturdays help because there's great college football action. Sunday, you put on the red zone, you see the ball zinging all over the place. That witching hour in that 12 o'clock window. Let me just tell you something right now. I mean, networks wish they could bottle up that excitement. That 30 to 45 minute window at the end of game, Shay, I think networks are like, is there any way we could put that on? Because it's just perpetual excitement. No commercials, bam, bam, bam. You never know what's going to happen. Exciting finishes.
It's the best product in football.
Yeah.
Charlie, I'm doing horribly today, to be honest. I watched the NFL all day yesterday, got slaughtered betting it. And to make matters worse, my Patriots vomit on themselves. And then my quarterback died on a meaningless last-minute play. So that's good. We'll go up to Green Bay and get killed just like the Bears did.
What about just being here this morning?
That I'm doing great. I always love being here with you.
Does that make it better?
Charlie.
Does it make it better? Just a little bit?
Job's not bad, man.
Don't forget your Spartans, Jay.
Oh!
Listen, everybody should forget them.
Holy bleep. What the hell? Just show up at
Let's
home.
Get to shot or no shot.
All right, let's go now to Charlie with his thoughts on shot or no shot. Show up, Sparty! Damn it! Go ahead, I'm sorry.
All right, boys, the Bears won an ugly football contest against one of the few teams who are worse than them, the Houston Texans. One of the factors that separates the Bears from the Texans is that the Bears actually have a couple stars, such as Roquan Smith. Roquan had 16 tackles, 2 for loss, and of course, the game-changing interception. Mm-hmm. It was a hell of a game for a linebacker who'd been struggling mightily to start the season. So shot or no shot, yesterday was the start of an extension-earning season for Roquan Smith.
That's a shot for me. It's a shot. The question was, Shay, could he fit in Eberflus's system the way he has it set up? All I know is that guy gets tackles, and you know it doesn't matter if it's aesthetically pleasing to anybody the way he plays the game. All I know is that he can wreak havoc and he can just be a solid player. So for me, it's a shot.
I'm going to say it's a shot, but I don't know that it'll actually end up happening. I know that they wanted in the offseason, they kind of talked about moving him over to the weak side, having him become a pass rusher, fill that role a little bit more. He hasn't really done that. He's continued to play off the ball. He's continued to drop back in coverage a lot. A lot of his tackles come downfield. He was really good in a couple run-stuffing scenarios yesterday, especially that play on the goal line when he broke through the line and made the tackle for a loss. That was incredible. The pick, he got a little assist from the defensive line tipping that ball, but sealed the game for the Bears. It was a great showing. I think he definitely deserves whatever money he gets this offseason. Whether it's from the Bears or not, that will remain to be seen because he hasn't really filled the role Eberflus said in the offseason that they wanted him to.
Charlie.
All right, stop me if you've heard this before, but while it was at least a fun day for the Bears defense yesterday, the passing game was once again stuck in the mud, spinning its wheels. Justin Fields completed 8 of 17 passes for a pedestrian 106 yards and 2 brutal interceptions.
However, the running game was once again a boon for the offense, as Khalil Herbert averaged almost 8 yards per attempt on his way to 157 yards and 2 touchdowns in place of David Montgomery. They say a quarterback's best friend is a good running game, so shot or no shot, the Bears actually have an offensive environment that a quarterback can grow in.
Well, for me, Shay, it's a no shot because it's still just one-dimensional, right? Okay, what do I need for an offense to grow in an offensive environment? I need a go-to guy. You don't have a big play wide receiver. Can we agree on that? They don't have a big play wide receiver. You could try to press Mooney into that, but they don't have one on the roster. You don't have a big play tight end. Okay, so you're running the football, and it's with Montgomery. He's day-to-day now. Hopefully he'll be ready for the game against the Giants. But you can only do one thing offensively well. That's not the NFL. That doesn't foster a positive offensive environment, does it? Just doing one thing? Look at the league. How is that? So it's a no shot for me.
I agree.
It's one thing they do well.
Yeah, I agree. It's a no shot for me as well. And I looking at the numbers, it becomes even worse because you look at next gen stats, Justin Fields, 3.06 seconds to release. It's the second slowest in the league, just ahead of Daniel Jones. So he's getting time. He's just not decisive. One of the biggest issues I've seen with this offense, and this is why it's a no shot, is all of the plays that they've run for Fields to be the thrower, for Fields to make a play, are so long developing down the field. Mm-hmm. It's either a play action bootleg where you're relying on somebody to get open 10 yards down. Doesn't happen a ton because this team, let's be honest, they don't have a ton of talented pass catchers. They struggle to get spacing. They struggle to get open. But they don't run any rhythm plays. And what I'm talking about is like quick slants. Something, if you watch the Packers and the Bucks yesterday, I know it was terrible offense on both sides, but early in that first half, the Packers ran two plays where they just used a wide receiver to go downfield, clear a guy out, and somebody's running a quick slant wide open underneath. Like, why hasn't Luke Getsy heard of quick slants? Mm-hmm. Just get some easy throws, isolate a defender, let Justin Fields get in rhythm. They don't do that. So I feel like as far as this being conducive to him growing, they aren't letting him get in rhythm. Everything they're asking him to do is down the field where they aren't really capable of consistently getting open, where he has to make long decisions, and they can't protect him for 6 seconds.
There is a difference between college and pro in that regard, right? Because in the pros, watch on Sundays how quickly you got to get the ball out. I don't care how good or bad a team you are, you got to get the ball out quickly. Because the defenders are trying to take your head off. Charlie, you could watch in college where you got an iron gate as an offensive line and the quarterback can pat the ball, move around in the pocket, be able to get it down the field. There's a difference there. Like, to me, Justin Fields' clock in his head has not been able to be fast enough. And then on top of that, look at the receivers he has. He should make them better. They should make him better. But there's no rhythm there because it's not quick enough.
Yeah, and that's always the biggest difference for these quarterbacks that come from these like legacy programs, right? Like all the Alabama quarterbacks, all the USC quarterbacks, possibly an Ohio State quarterback. They always had better players than anybody they faced, and now that's not the case anymore.
But you know what? We saw glimpses of it here and there, but it's just not consistent enough. Like with Darnell Mooney, the pass, it was an 18-yard pass. Like, I like that pass because he threw it like a bullet, man, right to Mooney. Was able to get to Cole Kmet as well, a 24-yard pass. I really like that. But again, there's too few and far in between in this offense. Charlie.
All right, let's go back into that Bears rushing game. It's been a revelation the last 2 weeks. They ran for 180 yards against Green Bay and 281 yesterday. Be it Montgomery or Herbert, the Bears can move the ball on the ground. They're 2-1 despite not having a passing game. So shot or no shot, the Bears have a good enough running game and a solid enough defense to just play ball control in order to exceed their 6.5 over-under.
That's a no shot. It's a no shot. You can't keep doing this, Shay. Like, there's going to be some quirks in the schedule, right, that will go the Bears' way. I mentioned there's three or four coin flip games on the schedule that the Bears could try to take advantage of. But just doing 1984 offense is not going to work throughout the season. Before you guys were born, my friends, what we saw for the Bears is what I grew up watching. That's what I watch. I mean, exclusive running games, running plays. goes to NFL Network when they put those classic games on where they run. And again, there's nothing wrong with the running game. It's nothing wrong with it. But you can't get quick scores while you're running the football, taking the ball off, taking the time off the clock, maybe scoring or maybe a field goal. The other team's like, okay, is that all you got? Zip, 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 touchdown. Now back to you and your running game. Seriously, you got to do more than that. And if you were just a run first and defensive team, you know what, Shay? Your defense has to be a hell of a lot better, right? If you're trying to win games 10-7, I mean, you got to get to the quarterback. So for me, it's a no shot.
Yeah, I mean, they still haven't scored 3 touchdowns in a game this season. So I actually will say shot. Not particularly because I want to watch that. I don't really have any interest in watching an NFL team in 2022 that has 65% of their offensive plays come as runs.
That's not the league, man.
That's where the Bears are right now. Literally, over 65% of their plays are rushes. That's kind of ugly old school football to me. I'm not super interested in it, but the offensive line in run situations has been fantastic.
Yes.
They are blowing holes open. They are non-negotiable. Tevin Jenkins has been a revelation. I actually think if that's the lane the Bears want to choose, if they want to prioritize winning games this year and they're just going to run the hell out of the ball because they can, yeah, you might get to 7-8 wins. And we'll all talk about how, yeah, you won 8 games, but what does it mean? Because you're in the middle of the draft and you did nothing for your quarterback. So I don't want to see it, but yeah, there's a shot it could happen.
Could you win games like that, Charlie, against the Giants coming up? I'm going to skip the Vikings. Commanders, the Falcons, and the Jets. Those are the coin flip games I'm talking about, by the way.
Yeah, and when we talked about it a few weeks ago, like there's that soft stretch sort of around November where if they're going to show you anything, it's going to be then. I just don't know if they can do it by what they've been doing.
What do you think, Shay? Those games I just mentioned, that soft spot, again, we say soft spot in the schedule, but the Bears also are the soft spot in the schedule for some teams too, right?
Well, I know the Giants are the chic 2-0 team that everybody's like, oh, Dable's offense and the Giants, they're back. G-men. But I don't believe in that team at all. Like, Daniel Jones is still the quarterback, so that to me remains a coin flip.
I asked you about the Commanders, the Falcons, Jets, those teams.
God, if Wentz looks like he did yesterday, anybody can win that game. Yeah, I think that this team can win those games the way that they are.
Like just run the football in strong defense.
Yeah. I mean, those teams don't have quarterbacks. Like, as long as you're going to play against teams that don't really have effective passing games, I think this defense can do enough to kind of help the run game win stuff.
Now, coming into the season, I would have added the Dolphins to that. But
Holy smokes, are they good.
I didn't know they're going to be that good. I mean, you got Tua looking like he has concussion syndrome or symptoms.
By the way, what was that?
He just wobbled over.
The league is investigating now. They said that I'm certain they violated concussion protocol. He couldn't walk. Hoodie, he couldn't walk.
I know what that looks like. Either drunk on Rush Street or you got a concussion. I know what that looks like. And I thought, if he's looking like that and you got to hold him up, that means that might be a concussion. They might see it differently. But when I saw it, I was like, he got his bell rung. He shouldn't be out there.
Dude, it's not even like he tripped or anything. He was walking a straight line. Nobody's around him, and he just drops to his knees. It's like, get that guy in the locker room now.
That's a tough way to go. That shot or no shot. A Monday edition here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. And keep the conversation going on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago, as we talk to you about the Bears and their victory against the Texans. Coming up next, you miss Cap? Cap will give his thoughts about the Bears. Also, Lovie Smith on the other side of Soldier Field, the head coach for the Houston Texans, gives his thoughts about why they lost against the Bears. All part of the mix, and more of your phone calls coming up. 312-332-3776. The Bears win. We're talking about the good, the bad, and the right here on Chicago's Home for Sports. And Jay Hood Morning Show on ESPN 1000, streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. We're with you until 10 o'clock. There'll be Mike Greenberg with Greeny from 10 to noon. Waddle, it'll be a Carmen Yurko at 12. It'll be Waddle and Meller from 2 until 6, and to Bleck and Abdallah from 6 to 8. Freddie and Fitzsimmons at 8 o'clock. All part of the mix right here on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN 1000. Still to come, we're going to hear from Cap. get his thoughts about the Bears and their win against the Texans. And also Courtney Cronin, who covers the Bears for ESPN 1000, will be with us at 8:35 right here on ESPN 1000. So if you're just checking in, I'm just telling you that watching the game, you'll take this victory. Man, could you imagine the tenor of this show if the Bears would have lost against the Texans? But they were able to win. And once again, the defense bails out the Bears in that Roquan Smith makes a key play. We saw a number of key plays out there, but that big stop on third down in the third quarter, Roquan was playing well there. He led the team in tackles. I liked what I saw from him. But then Cairo Santos gets the game-winning field goal, and the Bears win 23-20. It's not aesthetically pleasing. It's not, but you'll take the victory. All I'm telling you is that as everyone learns offense, defense, special teams, that there's going to be some rocky games. And I'm braced for it, but I'm still going to talk about it because it's got to be better. And that includes the head coach, too. Can you imagine? Three timeouts in your back pocket, and you're not going to use it at the end of the first. Did he think he's going to transfer? If I don't call a timeout, then I'll have six or seven on the other side. Like, seriously.
I think, again, it shows kind of a lack of trust in Fields, right? Like, you don't trust him to use those timeouts to send him down and try to score some points.
You know, Charlie, there I can make a case. And again, we'll wait until the end of the season, but I can make a case as we look at the ebb and flow of the season that Poles and Eberflus look at what Fields can bring and they go, could we upgrade the position or do we need a veteran quarterback? I don't mean what they have now. Could they find someone to push Fields? Ultimately, it's his job, though. See, I know that the narrative out there is like you just push him. I'm not pushing him out. Absolutely not. Because look at the team. The team's not ready to win. They're not. Look at the roster. We've been saying this all summer, and I'm going to say it again. Look at the roster. They're going to win some games, yes, but are they ready to be a perennial playoff team? No, because this is an evaluation. Once you go through that salary cap, when you go through that cap space and you're able to get quality players, wide receivers, offensive linemen, defensive players that make a difference. Now, year two, year three, now you look at the team and say, you should be ready to win. But the question is, will Justin Fields be the quarterback at that time? 312-332-3776 is our phone number. We're going to hear from Cap in just a moment. But first, let me get to Rafael. He's been very patient on ESPN 1000. Rafael and Joliet, what's up, man?
Hey, good morning, Hoodie.
Hey.
So, to me, like, I'm obviously happy with any Bears win, but it feels like this is the worst-case scenario where the Bears win in spite of Justin Fields, because you want them to lose in spite of Justin Fields or win because of Justin Fields.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're just moving up or moving back our draft pick, and then we still have questions at the quarterback. The Bears can't let the entire season play out the same way it did for the first three games because we're still left with questions at the quarterback.
Well, so what's the answer? That's the question. Like, what's the answer to this?
I don't know. I mean, you're right. It's early, and the hope is he gets better. But it's insane that he's among the lowest in attempts in the league.
Yeah.
But among the leaders in interceptions, like they're not letting him throw, and he's throwing more interceptions than a lot of guys in the league. Like, that's unacceptable. He definitely needs to get better, or else, like, because we go into the offseason, it's like, do we spend for this guy? I mean, obviously, you can spend for the next quarterback if Justin Fields isn't the answer. But then are we in a situation where we're going to be like Ryan Tannehill and the Tennessee Titans, and then, like, they surrounded him with weapons, and it didn't work out for them? So it's like it's really just a bad place to be as a Bears fan.
Let's address it. I appreciate the phone call. Here's the big question, Shay. Here's the big question. Are they not allowing Justin to throw, or does Justin have a hard time being able to read a defense to be able to make others better?
He's gun-shy, Hoodie.
We sure about that?
He's gun-shy. You look at him drop back, you'll see guys get open kind of quickly. You'll see him pump, but he doesn't throw the ball because he's gun shy. And I don't know what it is. I don't know why it's happening. But there's so many opportunities where, and I know the offensive line's not great, but they give him enough time where he's got 2.5 seconds to get a ball out if he's decisive and reads the defense.
Well, here's the number. Here's the number. And it changed, I think, because you gave the number earlier, but going into this game against the Texans, 3.26 seconds to get the ball out. The average is 2.7. Courtney sent me that. The average is 2.7. So is 4 seconds enough time? In the NFL, it has to be. It may not be enough for you, but it has to be. If you got 3.2 seconds to get the ball out, if no one's open, then you, of course, you tuck it and run. But, I mean, there's a lot of in-between with him, isn't it? should I throw, should I not throw? All right? Should I run, should I not run? But again, this is not a 7 or 8 year quarterback that's making those mistakes, though, Shay. It's not acceptable, but it's reality.
Correct. And I think that's where people listen to us and they go, oh, these guys, they just want Justin Fields to be Josh Allen out of the gate.
He's not going
to be. No, of course not. My thing with Justin Fields is I want to see him get to a point where he's confident and decisive and he can make that first read, look it off, and then know exactly where the ball's going to go. That's huge. That's a big step for a quarterback to take. I'm not asking for him to go out and have a 5,000-yard, 40-touchdown season. I would like to see 10 completions. I don't think that's asking a lot. We're at 5 of 13 starts. He hasn't completed 10 passes.
Kaplan J. Hood on ESPN 1000 is streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. So my friend David Kaplan is off because of Rosh Hashanah and the Jewish holiday. And so we do have his thoughts, though. You want to know what Cap thinks of the Bears' win against the Houston Texans? Here it is, courtesy of his YouTube.
Let's get back to today. You've got to be honest with yourselves when you look at this team. They're 2-1. They're not a good football team. They don't have enough talent. I know everyone is going nuts at the end of the first half why they're not calling timeouts. Well, I'm sitting there with Lance Briggs, Dave Wanstead, and Alex Brown, and they're saying, two of them, Lance and Alex, not coach, Lance and Alex, do not use your timeouts. Get in the locker room. Fix and make adjustments. You can't, the way Justin's playing, the way the pass protection is, you can't take a chance on a strip sack leading to points for the Texans. So that's what two guys who played are saying. Yes, we had timeouts, all of it. Coach Wanstead felt they could have taken a couple of shots, maybe not deep down the field, not having to try and have Justin stand back there too long, but take a few shots and see if you could make a play and get at least a field goal out of it. So, it will be dissected all week long, but Eberflus said he did not handle that situation as well as he should have. There are people that agree with what he did, though, not using his timeouts and taking shots down the field because they cannot protect their quarterback.
Can I just ask a question?
Honest, I got my concerns about Braxton Jones. Again, he's a fifth-round rookie trying to play left tackle against professional football players who are men, many of them. These guys are tough, and they make it very tough to block them one-on-one. There are also people asking, why don't we throw more passes? Do you want a Cleveland scenario from last year? Who are you blocking our five against their five with? Don't have enough good players yet where you've got receivers who can make plays. Byron Pringle out of the game. David Montgomery got hurt. He comes out of the game. It's not going to be a high-octane offense this year. It's just not. And this is not Luke Getsy's fault. This is not Matt Eberflus's fault. This points back to the previous regime not doing a good enough job in the draft. And now Ryan Poles has decided to pick a lane, not spend money in free agency, didn't have a first-round pick, and he's going to have to take some time. He'll have a lot of cap space after this year to try and go out and fix all the holes on this roster. But those of you out there that thought Justin's just going to stand back there and operate in the pocket and have all this time to hit all these receivers, not this year. It's not going to happen. I'm not convinced any more than I was before the season started that they're going to win 6 football games. I'm not. They have got no ability to stretch the field and score points at this point in time. And heaven forbid, if they have any more injuries, they don't have any quality depth on the roster. Yeah. The depth is one of the biggest problems. The lack of playmakers is number one. The lack of depth is right there as well.
Cappy, his thoughts on YouTube. Go to David Kaplan to catch his recap of the Bears and their win against the Texans. Now you can ask your question.
Is the Bears don't have enough talent. Is that his new take that?
I think
I've heard that more in the last few weeks than I've heard take that.
I think it's a new tattoo for him.
It might be.
Well, there you have it. I was trying to chime in, but I didn't have the room to chime in there. But if you want to Cap's thoughts, there it is. And you can hear it in its entirety on his YouTube at David Kaplan. Coming up next, we hear from Courtney Cronin as we go inside the locker room as the Bears win on this Bears victory Monday. We're talking to you about it on the Cap and Jay Hood Morning Show. Take that. Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. Glad you're with us for this Bears victory Monday. Got this from Dan on Twitter at TweetJHood. That's where you can follow me at TweetJHood. Don't tweet at JHood41. That's my friend that used to play in the CFL. He gets all my hate mail, which is the best. People tweet at him, and he's just like, he goes, hey, I think this is for you. And he sends me like all my hate tweets. But TweetJHood, Dan sends this, and he sends this from Michael David Smith, who writes, in NFL history, the fewest passes ever thrown by a quarterback who started 16 games was 328 by David Whitehurst from the 1978 Packers. Justin Fields is on pace to throw 255 passes in 17 games. With that, we turn to Courtney Cronin, who covers the Bears for ESPN Chicago. She joins us here on Cap and Jay Hood. Good morning, Courtney.
Hey, guys. How are you?
We're both fine, thank you. Courtney, what did you learn about the Bears in Game 3 that you didn't know in the first couple of games?
You know, I think that I really didn't walk away with too much that was different than week two. And I had to think back on that because we knew this team could run the ball. We knew that from week one when Khalil Herbert, you know, David Montgomery couldn't really get going in the rain and Khalil Herbert was the guy who came through and we saw it last week. So we know that this team can run the ball. We know that they can run block and we know that this defense can be opportunistic with takeaways to set up the offense to do something. It's just a matter of what, you know, how the offense is going to execute when they finally get the ball back. So I feel like all of those things were pretty much consistent the first couple weeks of the season. Obviously a nice bounce back game for the defense yesterday and certainly a good game for Roquan Smith trying to set himself up for whatever his future is beyond this season. But I don't know if I walked away knowing anything new about this team because, frankly, this is what we've seen from Justin Fields dating back to the spring. And I know that it's something a lot of fans probably didn't want to hear, but there were moments where the offense really struggled in OTAs, in minicamp, in training camp, and we played this out for a lot of fans. And I just feel like it was a reality check for some people and being able to realize, oh, wait, this team actually is a developing team, like Matt Eberflus said post-game yesterday, and that patience is required if you're going to sign up to be a fan of this team throughout the season because Justin Fields and what we saw from him in the win against Houston, you know, his brutally honest assessment of his performance is probably what most people would have said when they took a look at his 8 completed passes and 17 attempts and worst passer rating of his career. All of those things, I think most people who cover this team expected to happen and expected to be a process of trial by fire and trial by a lot of errors for this young quarterback.
It's interesting, Courtney, what you just mentioned there. His Eberflus's longest answer was kind of talking about, as you mentioned, this is kind of like, didn't say a work in progress, but just a young team that's developing. How many coaches in this NFL would tell you, yeah, you have to be patient because we're trying to figure all this out? Most coaches with the bravado and beating their chest saying, oh, we got more than enough. We got to keep winning. But I think that it's refreshing to hear the reality from Eberflus saying, look at this roster. We got some work to do.
Yeah, and I think he's taken that approach more than just yesterday. I mean, yesterday was, you know, that's a pretty bold statement in a way to come out and say that following the game, but I think he's delving into reality. Like Justin Fields really struggled yesterday, and anything that you thought from week two that might have just been a hiccup or maybe it won't be something that carries over, it was magnified in a game yesterday where they tried to get a passing attack going. It's not like they weren't trying to throw the ball. It's just that the quarterback was really struggling with either things he was seeing or not seeing downfield, some of his mechanics, like the way that he was lined up to throw to Cole Kmet on the interception in the first half. Like there's a lot there that I think Matt Eberflus, in a way, it's almost damage control of like don't rag on the quarterback. This is what we expect because we're a growing team. We're a developing team. And when you have a quarterback like Fields, because I think the narrative out there and the rhetoric out there is that the team's already given up. They've bailed on him. Like they're, you know, doing everything in spite of him. And that conversation goes back to the preseason when they don't go out and spend big dollars on receivers and everything like that, that the team was already bailing on him. And I think for Eberflus to say that about Fields yesterday in showing the ways that they have to support a young developing quarterback who doesn't have it all together right now, who's still having mechanics issues on top of processing issues and, you know, just played so poorly that it kind of overshadows the win in a lot of ways. That's Eberflus trying to protect against that, saying, well, if this is going to be the way that it is, the run game has to be on point. The pass blocking, the run blocking, all of that has to do everything. It has to be overperforming in order to help the quarterback, and the defense and special teams have to play at a level where they're doing their job in spite of what's going on offensively. And that, I think, takes some of the, just trying to support the quarterback through this, because they're going to have to win. If they're focusing on trying to like win in spite of the quarterback, that's the way that they're going to have to do it.
Courtney, what's the latest on David Montgomery and the injuries for the Bears?
Yeah, Eberflus said it was day-to-day. Like, so we'll see on that, because Velus Jones, last I checked, was given that same classification, and we haven't seen him play. When I watched back the game and saw, I mean, his ankle and his knee got rolled up when he was in pass protection there. So that worried me a little bit. I think it is good that he was able to walk off the field under his own power, but they're going to evaluate it. And at least, you know, with what Matt Eberflus said, that the prognosis for him is good. I don't think you come out and say that if this is somebody that you're expecting to go to IR or to have to miss a lot of games, but they're very fortunate right now that they have Khalil Herbert as a backup. And I mean, he's done, you know, even through like the first 3 weeks, you've seen a nice enough sample size to know that you can trust this guy in the absence of David Montgomery. But we also saw that last year when Montgomery got hurt and where Khalil Herbert's touches skyrocketed. I think it was weeks 5 through 8. And I think you can anticipate that same sort of workload for a guy like this, who showed that as the game wears on and we talk about running backs getting lathered up. I mean, he did a great job with that. And you talk about the amount of yards that they had before contact yesterday. That's a big testament to him. That's a big testament to the offensive line.
Courtney, Justin Fields evaluated his game yesterday by saying,
"Thank you, man. Thanks for the person.
He didn't want to say the A word, but he said he played like trash is what he said yesterday. You see these numbers, Courtney, just we've been talking about it this morning. You just know that's just not good enough. As much as the running game has been really the hallmark of the Bears offense, you just know in this vertical passing league it isn't good enough. And so in your opinion, what, you know, the rubber meets the road here. Is this the Bears handcuffing Fields and trying to keep him, you know, to have him develop slowly, or does Justin have a hard time reading defenses and getting the ball down the field?
I think some of it is the confidence part. And that's the one thing I would be worried about. Like, if your confidence is shot as a quarterback in week 3, how do you get that back? Because you have a lot of the season left, and they're not pulling the plug on this kid now and saying, well, you know, we're already thinking about who the next quarterback's going to be. He's not the guy. He still has plenty of time to prove that, but there's got to be a lot of changes within, I think, what he's doing in terms of an operational perspective to make himself, to even put himself in that position where he's having good, like, you know, mediocre to good games in order to stack some of those, because right now this is not a usable sample size from what he has. I mean, 45 passes through the first couple weeks of the season, that's incredibly low. And if I think this group has to figure out what they can do, like, can you lean on the run game just to, in order to survive and be able to field an offense that's not going 3 and out every drive? I mean, there's got to be some things that they can do. Maybe putting him under center more, relying on the run game, relying on the run game to open up some of the holes in being able to actually create plays off of play action, which we just haven't seen with Justin Fields. There's little incremental things that they can do without having to fully put the burden of this offense on Fields. And I think that they kind of have their own reality check that they've been able to tap into, realizing, okay, anything we thought, you know, if there was something we thought was a little bit too complex for this quarterback, it's okay to dial that back now, because he's already been thrown out to the fire and he's shown that he struggled, you know, the last 2 weeks specifically. Like, this is, you have enough of a sample size now to know there are little things that you can do, that little things and big things that he can't do and some that he can do. And you've really got to hone in almost on like the rudimental stuff with Justin Fields the next couple weeks, just to be able to get him out of this rut with the passing game.
Courtney, we'll see what happens against the Giants. Let's talk on Friday.
Sounds great. Thanks so much.
It is Courtney Cronin, who covers the Bears for ESPN Chicago, joining us here on Cap and Jay Hood. Lovie Smith returned to Chicago. You'll hear his thoughts coming up next. And also, Alex Brown on the Bears at 9 on Chicago's Home for Sports. And Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. I'd like to remind you, tomorrow, and a little bit of a change in the lineup, because all day we'll be broadcasting live from the Sanctuary Golf Course in New Lenox, in the south suburbs, for the ESPN Chicago Open. So here's how the lineup will go tomorrow. Tomorrow morning, it'll be Cap teaming with Tom Waddle from Waddle and Sylvie. So Cap and Waddle will be here from 7 to 10, followed by Carmen Yurko from 10 to noon. It'll be Jeff Miller and Tyler Aki from 12 to 2. I will team with Sylvie for Waddle and Sylvie from 2 to 6. So if you're looking for me, I'll be in the afternoon with Sylvie, and Waddle will be in the morning with Cap between 7 and 10. As we broadcast live for our golf tournament, the ESPN Chicago Open, at the Sanctuary Golf Course in New Lenox. We'll be there all day. Hope you get a chance to watch on Twitch or listen to the show right here on ESPN Chicago. By the way, watching the game and watching Justin Fields, because you have no other choice. You're watching the game and you just want to see the young man develop. You could have any thoughts you'd like about Justin Fields, but you want the offense to percolate. You want it to be more, at least from my standpoint, more than just running the football. Did you notice that one play where he's running out of the pocket, running out of pressure? This is in the second quarter. And Fields is running from pressure from Hughes, from the Houston Texans. Hughes is right behind him, Jerry Hughes. And I'm watching, and I'm on the couch in the Hood Cave saying, "Justin, look out, man!" Like he could hear me. It's amazing how you can get emotionally connected into a game where it's like, he could not feel the pressure, Fields. It's right behind it. I'm like, "Hey, man, look out!" And thank goodness it wasn't a sack. I think he got the ball out. But the point is, though, is that even Justin Fields couldn't feel the pressure. But I thought if I yelled, and I was, "Hey, man, maybe that could help."
It's like purely instinctual. It's like seeing like shark, like you're about, like it's coming.
Charlie, I mean, this is how emotionally invested that you get, right? You're watching, like, I'm not at the game. You can't hear me. I'm watching a big screen in my basement in the Hood Cave. And I'm like, "Hey, man, look out, man."
It's like when you're watching like a horror movie and you're like, "Don't go in there. Don't go behind that door. That's where the monster is."
That's exactly what it was, man. Just like, "Hey, man, you can't feel that rush. You don't feel that big guy running after you. Come on, man." Lovie Smith came back to the Bears. Of course, he had quite a tenure with the Bears, 3 playoff appearances, including getting to the Super Bowl. Lovey about how the Texans played against the Bears.
"Just whenever you and a team is able to rush the ball for that many, it's just going to be a tough day. Took the ball away. Petrie did a good job. Big sack, couple interceptions, which was, you know, of course, good for him. But Jerry Hughes, I think, had a couple of sacks. But just up front, we didn't play well. You know, defensively, we could talk the rest of the day about just what we didn't do with it, except take the ball away a few times. And offensively, the same thing. You know, can't turn the ball over. You definitely can't have a turnover in the end zone. And that really hurt us. Of course, the last one did too. But Damon Pierce is always going to do some good things that we like. But overall, offensively, can sustain enough drives. We had our opportunities. And special team-wise, Dez King, that was a big return. It really helped us a lot. But overall, just not a good day. didn't look like we were a good football team out there today. We played a lot better than what we played today.
Lovie Smith talking to the press after the game. You know what? Lovie's a little bit different than what I remember. Lovie wouldn't give you that much information when he's with the Bears. It's very limited, 30 seconds, 10-second sound bites. He was disappointed. And I know he'll never say, man, I want to beat my former team. But he did make points. He hates when the ball's turned over. Hates it. No one really likes it. But for him, it's like, hey, we're supposed to be the team that takes the ball away, not give it away. He hates that to his core. And just to hear him talk, he was just like, you know what? I think we had a chance to win the game, and we just didn't. They're 0-2-1. So you compare that to the Bears, right? In this post-Deshaun Watson era for them, they're just trying to figure things out. They're just trying to figure out how to play. Petri Dish, he played well.
He's a dude. Him at Baylor last year was crazy. He is something else.
I like it, man. I like what he did. They ran the football decently well, but ultimately Davis Mills outplayed Justin Fields. That's unacceptable. And we'll talk more about the Bears. Did you watch the game? Did you go to Soldier Field? Let's talk. 312-332-3776 is our phone number. We'll take your phone calls next in 2 minutes.